And we come to the last of the series on the Holy Spirit. And it's my privilege in that sense to bring it to a conclusion. And I just pray that the Lord will just anoint us, every one of us, because we need to hear the truths of the Holy Spirit. Just want to make it clear that, and it's been mentioned in the last few weeks as we've been talking about this, this experience I'm talking about this morning is different from our salvation. Every born-again believer has the Holy Spirit within them. We are born again by the Spirit from above, and he lives within everyone. But this is a different experience that we've been talking about over the past few weeks. So what is this other experience that's described in the scriptures? What is this something more that the early church received? And I'm just going to give you a few verses because I want to recap, not a lot over the past weeks, but faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. So I need to say just a few scriptures that we've heard over the last few weeks because they are the foundation of what I'm going to be saying this morning, the foundation that causes us to believe in the baptism and the Holy Spirit. There is an experience called the baptism or the infilling with the Holy Spirit. And the four Gospels all mention this, mostly at the very beginnings. John the Baptist said that Jesus would come and baptize his people with the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, not a force, not an energy, but God himself in the form of the Holy Spirit. And he said, Matthew says it, Mark, Luke, and John, and I'm not going to read all the scriptures. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. That was Matthew. Mark says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Luke says, when John the Baptist is speaking, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The baptism in water is a tremendous experience, but the baptism in the Holy Spirit is Jesus baptizing his church. And John, he says, I baptize with water, John the Baptist. But he said, then later he says, upon whom you see the Spirit descending as he was baptizing Jesus in water, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So out of those verses, we know it's Jesus that is going to come and baptize his people with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus himself says he was going to do that. Not just John the Baptist saying it, Jesus himself says this. On the last day of the feast, it says in John 7, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, his belly, his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if you do, this is a promise for every one of us. This he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And later, he says in Luke's, at the end, before Jesus is going to be crucified, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And that was what Jesus said. And before he was going to be ascended into heaven, he repeated it to the disciples. He said, wait for the promise of the Father that you've heard from me. John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is confirming the message of John the Baptist. He is saying that his people, that's you and I, are going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And what happens on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2? Not only has Jesus said it's going to happen, now we've got Peter's testimony when he's speaking to multitudes that have come because they've heard the sounds, etc., that have been going on. And he's telling them, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh, on your sons and daughters, etc., and on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And then he goes on to say, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. That was his testimony to the multitudes that had come on the day of Pentecost. Jesus promised it. The prophets promised it. Now we have received it. And this is the evidence of the promise of God. And he goes on to say, repent and let every one of you be baptized, that is in water, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Brothers and sisters, that's every one of us sitting here in this place today. It's a promise for us today. It's for every believer. It's for you and it's for me. John the Baptist continued to baptize water when individuals came to him until the Lord took him home. And Jesus will continue to baptize in the Holy Spirit individuals who come to him. And that's every one of us. So what happened on the day of Pentecost? What did the Holy Spirit do? And again, we know these verses so well, don't we? On the day of Pentecost, they were there with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven of a rushing, mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. And one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's the verses that you see there behind me. First of all, there was a rushing mighty wind. The Holy Spirit came from somewhere else. The Holy Spirit came from above. He came from the heavenlies as a rushing mighty wind. He was outpoured and he filled the whole room where those 120 disciples were sitting. And then what happened? We know that upon each one of those individual disciples, there was a tongue of fire. The symbol of a tongue of fire, but the Holy Spirit was actually being outpoured, not just in the room, but upon every single one of them. Each one of those disciples was immersed and baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were filled to overflowing. And in the Old Testament, wherever the promise of the Holy Spirit is mentioned, there is always a reference, I would say nearly always a reference, to this overflowing, these rivers of living waters, of the experience of the people that received them. In Isaiah, he says, until he talks to the children of Israel, the promises, he says, until the Spirit, and I want you to notice this expression, the Spirit is poured out upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest. Then in Isaiah 44:3, I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground. And I will pour my spirit on your descendants, and my blessing on your offspring. He's pouring. And a river has many tributaries, hasn't it? And that river can flow, not just in one pathway, but that river can flow wherever it is to every individual and produce such a fruitfulness and abundant life. So what did the disciples do when they were filled with the Holy Spirit? What did they do with this overflowing? They were receiving an overflowing of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this, out of your heart, your belly, your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. They spoke in tongues. They spoke in languages that they didn't know. They had had a supernatural infilling Now they were going to have a supernatural outflowing. And it has to be supernatural, doesn't it? If it's the Holy Spirit that's come, something different has got to take place as an understanding and a revelation. And they began to speak in other tongues. And it says of the people that heard them, they were confused, because all of these people, every one of them heard them speak in his own language. And it gives us a list of some of the languages. And they were amazed and they marveled at what they were seeing and what they were hearing. They knew it was supernatural. They knew it was something that these men could not do on their own. And as a result of the overflow, they began speaking in these tongues, these languages that the Spirit gave to them individually. Jesus said, speaking to other people, not in this particular context, but he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's out of the abundance of the heart. And when their heart is filled, it overflows through the mouth, through the expression that God has given to every one of us. And it's interesting, but every time in the New Testament, where an instance where somebody is filled or anointed with the Holy Spirit, the next thing that happens is they speak. They either speak in prophecy or in tongues in this particular instance. When Elizabeth was met by Mary and John the Baptist leapt in her womb, Elizabeth, it expressly says, was filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did she do? She spoke out with a loud voice. And she said, blessed are you among women. She spoke out with a loud voice. And everybody in that room around her was aware of it, because of what she was doing. What did Zacchaeus, what happened to him when the Holy Spirit filled him? When John the Baptist was born, it says Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did he do? He prophesied. He spoke. Simeon, the old man that came into the temple and he held Jesus in his arms, the Messiah he'd been waiting to see. And it says the Holy Spirit was upon him. And he blessed them, and then he spoke to Mary. And out of that filling, he prophesied to her some of the pain that she was going to receive because of what happens to her son. In Acts 4, after the day of Pentecost, when they gather again, and the place is shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, what did they do? They spoke the word of God with boldness. What happened to a Cornelius in his household? The Holy Spirit fell upon all of those who heard the word, and the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Gentiles also. And they said, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And Peter said, can anyone forbid water to these? Because they have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. They heard them speak. They didn't see any wind. They didn't see any fire, but they did hear them speak in tongues. And so they said they've received the Holy Spirit just as we had. Cornelius in his household were so full of the infilling that it just poured out of them in their praise and their worship to the Lord. The Ephesian Christians, when Paul went to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, so he preached the gospel to them. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and they prophesied. You can't get away from it, can you? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I want to make a little thing. I just want to put this in here as I'm speaking, because people say, well, is it a distinct experience? Yes, it is a distinct experience. It's different to the emotions that we feel as Christians. You see, any Christian who loves the Lord will have an emotion of love. They should do. They should have an emotion of love. They can feel happy. They can feel joyful, and they can say, well, I'm rejoicing in the Lord. I'm singing, etc., etc. But is that an experience of having been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And some people might say, well, yes, it is. But there's an experience we read of in Luke when before Jesus goes away, and he blesses them before he is ascended. And it says the disciples, they worshipped him and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They were happy. They were rejoicing. Their emotions were stirred within them. And not only that, they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. So they were doing all of these things out of their own emotions, and it was a wonderful time they would be having. But they had not yet received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So you can imagine what it was like afterwards. It's not our own emotions. The Holy Spirit does something else in us when he fills us with himself. So what's the purpose of being baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, we know what Jesus said. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses telling people about me. And there's too much emphasis sometimes in Pentecostal circles and charismatic, etc., about the power, about the gifts of power, the healings, the other things. And people think, well, if I was baptized in the Spirit, then I can do this, this, and this. Yes, that's part of it. That's part of what happened. But we're missing something here. And I think David might have mentioned something about this. One of the things Jesus says was, you will be my witnesses, telling people about me. What is a witness? A witness is someone who testifies to something he has seen or heard. And the baptism of the Spirit is a gateway. It's an opening, if I can put it that way, into another realm of the Spirit that you don't experience before that. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit and you are speaking in tongues or whichever way you're worshipping the Lord, there is a revelation of more of Jesus. Something happens within your spirit. It's like a gateway, and you find out that there is more to explore about Jesus and about the Father. Because Jesus says, the help of the Holy Spirit, he will teach you all things, and he will bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So you're hearing it. When the helper comes, the Spirit of truth, he will testify of me. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And he goes on to say, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. When the Holy Spirit baptizes anybody, that you get a greater revelation of who Jesus is and of who the Father is, because Jesus is truth. He says, I am the way, I am the truth. And he says, take of mine, the Holy Spirit, and he will reveal me to you. And you see more of the Father, because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It's not a status symbol. It's not a box a Christian ticks and says, well, I've been baptized in the Spirit, I speak in tongues, or I do this, I do that. It's nothing to do with that. It's seeing Jesus. It's glorifying Jesus. David read what Martin Lloyd-Jones says, and I'm going to repeat it. The Holy Spirit came to reveal Christ to us. His primary work is to make Christ real to us, to show us what Christ has done for us, to remind us of his teaching, and to give us a longing and a love for Christ, to enable us to live as Christ lived and to conform to his image. That's what the Holy Spirit does when he comes. He glorifies Jesus. And to glorify somebody is to praise them, to exalt them, to magnify them, to honor them, to esteem them. And that's what the Holy Spirit comes to. You see, Jesus was not glorified when he was on the earth. He wasn't glorified. By us few he was, but he wasn't glorified. He was recognized as a prophet, but he was never recognized as God. And every time you see about a miracle taking place, it says the people glorified God, but they didn't glorify Jesus. There's a big difference. Yes, a prophet, but they glorified God. They didn't know who he was and what he was, but he did say, the hour has come that the Son of Man will be glorified. He was glorified in his crucifixion. He was glorified in his resurrection. He was glorified in his ascension. And now he is seated in the heavenlies. And that's where he's glorified most of all. And these are the things that the Holy Spirit begins to reveal to us as we're praising him and worshiping. And in that release that we can just have our eyes opened. I believe it says that John the Baptist, John the apostle, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And what did he see? How do we glorify Jesus? We glorify him in praying. We glorify him in praising, in worshiping, in singing, in dancing, in expressing all sorts of praise to him, and in our holy lives. That's how we do it. And we do it by looking unto Jesus, and the Holy Spirit helps us to do that. So what about speaking in tongues? What did it actually do for them? And what does it do for us? It helps us first and foremost to praise and glorify God. It's an expression of prayer and praise and worship. And it's very interesting that out of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, it is the only one which has a direct aspect of worship. All the other 9 gifts of the Spirit that people pray for are to do with man to man. Gifts of healing, word of knowledge, etc. It's all. But the gift of speaking in tongues is for God. It's the only one where you can praise and love and worship the Lord. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. And in the Spirit, he reveals mysteries. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. And I will pray with the Spirit. And he says, I will sing with the Spirit as well. And the disciples were so full of what the revelation they had on the day of Pentecost of who Jesus was, what he was, what they had seen and what they had heard. It says that they spoke of the wonderful works of God, the wonderful mysteries, the excellent, magnificent, glorious things of God. There was a sister years ago, many of you in the fellowship will remember Sylvia. She's with the Lord now. And we were talking, I was talking, and she said, Nikki, she said, before I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, the difference was that before it was like a black and white video or photograph. After the Holy Spirit, it was in Technicolor. That was the change. That's how she described it. And you and I believe we have a deep desire to praise and worship the Lord, don't we? We want to love him. We want to worship him. We want to express it. But you and I also know that our own language is just not adequate. We want to say so much to the Lord. One man said this, one of the most beautiful things about tongues is the intimacy it fosters with God. There are moments in worship where English just isn't enough. Your heart is so full of love for him, so overwhelmed by his presence, that regular words are just inadequate. In those moments, tongues becomes the language of love between your spirit and his. Another man says, every consecrated believer must have felt at times a consuming desire to open his heart to God in unspeakable communication and inexpressible adoration. There is a deep in the spirit that is never plumbed by the mind or the thought. That deep finds expression as unaccustomed words of heavenly coherence sweep up to the beloved from the newly opened well of the human spirit, flooded with a torrential stream of the divine spirit. He goes on to say, have you never, in the presence of Jesus, felt inarticulate, on the very verge of eloquence? Have you never wept to think how helpless your words are to express emotion in the presence of him whom your soul loveth? Other tongues alone can give you utterance equal to this holy task. Beautiful, isn't it? The Holy Spirit shows Jesus to us, and he helps us to see his beauty, his glory, his majesty, and he helps us to express the feelings that we can't put in our own words. We don't know what we ought to pray for in Romans, but the Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And again, what Paul says in Corinthians, I mentioned just now, if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I'm saying. What shall I do? Well, I will pray in the Spirit, and I'll also pray in words I understand. I'll sing in the Spirit, and I'll also sing in words I understand. And I want to mention something here about singing in the Spirit. In Ephesians, it says, we speak to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We all know what psalms and hymns are, but spiritual songs are those, my interpretation of it and many others, are those that come from our spirit that you sing in the language that the Holy Spirit gives to you. There are thoughts that are going through your mind that you want to express, and you sing them in tongues. There's a feeling in a meeting in particular that you want to rise higher than the words you see on the screen. You want to express something, not what somebody else has written, but something that you are feeling in your own spirit. And you want to sing those songs. You want to release a well, a fountain within you. You want to sing a song. You want to flow in melodies. Let me give you some experiences, or not experiences, but, and this is what we want to see more and more, but it's something that you do in your own time as well. You can sing a song, you can sing a chorus, and you can sing it, and it's a blessing. But when you have the language of the Spirit, do you know what you can do? You can sing that song and that hymn in that other language, and it can mean something much more personal to you. And after you finish singing that, you can go on in the melodies that the Holy Spirit, through the musicians, etc., compose. I thought, Lord, will I do this? But I will. Let me show you what I mean. And the angels cry, holy, your creation cries, holy, you are lifted high. Holy, holy forever. Libi esso ye, la moho rebi esidi, le mohi eri esede, la maha le meri esso, lebi esidi, le mori eri esodi, la haya rebi esedi, le mene, le moriara, le riesurisi, le riahama, le mi vihie erebi. I love you, Lord, I tell you, I love you. That's not an anointed, because when I'm doing it like that, I'm just giving it as an experience, as an illustration. But we want more of that. We want more of that free praise, that free worship, and speaking in tongues helps you to do it. And it becomes simple, it becomes effortless and satisfying. In the Old Testament, the children of Israel went through a wilderness experience. When they came out, they wanted water, and there's water flowing underneath them. So they were told to dig. But they weren't only told to dig. The Lord said, gather the people together and I will give them water. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, all of you, sing to it. And there's something that happens when we sing. And we are to sing to the well. There's a river of water running through each one of us and in the church. And the Lord is saying, sing to it, sing to it. And let the fountain of living water come up. I'm just going to go quickly over the other two. The other thing that speaking in tongues does, the scripture says, it builds us up in our faith. Helps us to pray, helps us to worship. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, builds himself up. And so Paul says, I wish you all spoke with tongues for this blessing. It's a miracle, a vocal miracle. We're speaking the Holy of Holies, and he's doing something within us. And the other thing it does is change us, because when we are lifted high, when we are seeing these spiritual realms, when we are seeing Jesus, when we are worshiping him, we have to be changed. We are changed into his image by the Spirit, and glory to glory. So let me come to the practical side. How do you pray for this? How do you pray for the blessing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, another filling in the Holy Spirit? You pray the promise. It's as simple as that. You pray the promise. If his Father gives us good gifts, how much more, Jesus says, will your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit because you ask him? This he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. All the promises about he will pour his Spirit on the young, the children, the adults, the men servants, the maid servants. And he says, this promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off. We know these promises. So how does it happen? There's only two ways that I know of in one sense. First of all, from the scripture, the Holy Spirit comes directly from heaven. It happens. Nobody else is involved in it. The Holy Spirit falls upon a person or a group of people. The Holy Spirit fell, was poured out. He fell on the people, those 120 in that room on the day of Pentecost. The same thing happened to Cornelius and his household. The Holy Spirit descended, fell, baptized them. But in Samaria, there was the laying on of hands. They believed. Philip had preached the gospel. They believed on the Lord. But it says the Holy Spirit had not yet fallen upon any of them. So the apostles heard what had happened, and they weren't content with just how these people were at the moment. They needed the Holy Spirit. So what did they do? They came and they laid hands on them. And they received the Holy Spirit. Paul the Apostle received the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands. And Paul at Ephesus, when he went to them and those disciples there, he said he laid his hands on them, and they came. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues. It can happen now. It can happen here, this morning. A baptism, an outfilling, an infilling. And it can happen by each one praying for another. It can happen in these particular ways. So how do we receive the baptism and the Holy Spirit? It's something where God and man have to cooperate. It's not just God, and it's just not man. God filled them with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon them. But the Holy Spirit didn't speak the language. They had to speak the language. They had to use their mouths, their tongues, to speak the language that the Holy Spirit gave to them. And let me tell you, the words don't come from your head. They don't come from your own mind. They don't come from your own thoughts and your own understanding. They come from your innermost being. Jesus says, out of your belly, out of your innermost being, there will flow rivers of living water. And that in the Greek means it will bubble up. It's like something that starts down here and it begins as a quickening. There's a stirring. There's a strange feeling that's there that you've never felt before. And you think to yourself, what's happening here? And you know something's happening and it's a bubbling and you know you can stop it. Or you can just say, Holy Spirit, I believe this is you. And you just relax yourself in the presence of the Lord. And sometimes it can just start just coming up. And what has it got to do? Out of the heart, out of the innermost being, there has to be an expression. And that's where he gives the language that you can then speak. It might start with a small few words, or it might start with a flow. It varies from person to person, but something happens. And then there becomes a fluency. And the thing that you have to do then is not stop it. Just let it go. Let the language the Holy Spirit gives to you. And when it happens, 99 times out of 100, you'll start saying, I don't understand this. It's got to be me. Am I making it up? It sounds strange. Of course it will sound strange. You've never said it before. You've never spoke this way before. You've never used this language before. So don't overthink it. It's not going to make sense to you. When you start wanting to speak in a way that you've never spoken before. Because when you speak another language, your mouth and your tongue doesn't speak and move in the same way as it does when you speak English. Try speaking Welsh. Try speaking German. Try speaking Chinese. You can't do it. It sounds different. It is different. And your mouth makes different. Well, Howard Carter, the man that prayed for me to be baptized in the Spirit, we've mentioned him so many times over the years ago. He had an impediment in his speech. He couldn't speak R's properly, couldn't roll them properly. When the Lord baptized him in the Holy Spirit, he gave him a language that was full of R's. And he spoke them and he was so blessed and he thought, Lord, you've healed me. And then when he started speaking English, he couldn't. The R's were still not being able to pronounce. And he thought, Lord. So he started speaking in tongues again. He thought, if he did that and then went straight over to English, but it didn't work that way. You see, he wasn't used. His mouth had never spoken R's before. So it seemed strange to him. You've never spoken the language the Holy Spirit will give you. So when it feels strange or it sounds strange, of course it will. And you think, well, is it a language? Yes, it is a language because the Holy Spirit's given it. You know, when we hear our Fijian brothers and sisters and our African brothers and sisters talking to each other, what does it sound like to you? Absolute gibberish. We don't understand how they can understand each other. It will sound strange. It will feel strange. But please just trust the Holy Spirit to give you the language that you're able to tell him how wonderful he is. You will feel self-conscious. You will think, well, what is everybody else doing and everybody else thinking? For goodness sake, forget about everybody else. Do you think the 120 were sitting there and Peter was thinking, I wonder what James is doing. I wonder what's happening to somebody else. They were so full of the Holy Spirit. They were. It didn't matter what anybody else was doing, what they were doing. They were just enjoying what the Lord was doing. So don't be afraid of hearing your own voice. Let it go. People used to think I was very quiet. But I wasn't. Not when the Holy Spirit filled me. I made a bit of noise. Fortunately, it was only me, Howard Carter, and his wife in the room. But we have to express now. And it doesn't. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will bless us this morning. It doesn't always happen. I remember our sister Penny Barry. She might have told you. I don't. She was a bit self-conscious. And she thought, Lord, I don't want to be embarrassed, etc. The Lord was very gracious to her. And she was hoovering. And the noise of the hoover. And then she started to singing to the Lord. And as she was singing to the Lord, the Holy Spirit filled her. And she was able to sing quite loudly over the noise of the hoover. The Lord is good, isn't he? You can be baptized in your bedroom. You can be baptized in your bath. You can be baptized in your car. The Holy Spirit will do it as long as you have a heart that is longing for him. It's a faith language. And I think I've said enough this morning. What were the disciples doing when the Holy Spirit came? They were sitting. We know they were sitting. They were relaxed. They were praying. They were waiting. They were expecting. They were open to what the Holy Spirit was going to do. And when the Holy Spirit came in, well, the rest is history. We don't have to be tense. The Holy Spirit will just come and fill. And let me give this. Don't try to speak in English at the same time, because you can't speak two languages at once. It's like the Holy Spirit is the wind, isn't he? He came as a rushing, mighty wind, and he filled them. And their mouths were open. And you're never going to speak in another language if you keep your mouth shut. You've got to be prepared to, when that feeling comes within you that the Holy Spirit gives, just open your mouth and say, Lord, I'm letting it out. Amen. Let's just sit. Let's just wait on the Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit. Lord, you know that I've just shared your word this morning. But Holy Spirit, you have promised that you would come. And you would baptize us, and you have done. Many of us have been blessed by the experience that you have given to us, and we thank you, Lord. We do bless you. But Lord, we want to be filled again. There's always room for more. There's always room for more. The Holy Spirit, there are those that have never had the blessing of being able to speak with tongues. It's not a question of people argue about the initial evidence. I'm not talking about that. We're just wanting that precious gift you give and have promised to everyone that hungers and thirsts, because out of our innermost being, we want those rivers of living water to flow. So Holy Spirit, will you come? Will you come and fill us again? Will you come, Lord, and let the river flow? Will you come, Holy Spirit, and will you reveal Jesus to us and open our eyes that we might see more of the beauty of our Saviour? Holy Spirit, hallelujah. Holy Spirit,